Bye.
Hello, hello. You are watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and Jamaral Thomas. It is Wednesday, July 15th, 2026. You're watching the Q&A show because it's Wednesday. We do the Q&A show Wednesdays at 12 noon and Mondays at 12 noon. The normal show is here Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Hey, GT, how are you doing?
I am doing fine. How about you guys?
I am all right. Since you asked guys, I'm going to put in Robbie. Robbie, how are you doing?
Doing good. My internet's kind of struggling a little bit. Now, this Montana internet sometimes leaves some to be desired.
Montana.
Yes, indeed.
You're in the boonies.
Does this sound louder than usual? Is this better?
It sounds a lot better.
Okay, cool. All
right. At least in my opinion, it sounds better.
Yeah.
All right. Well, your opinion counts. All right. So just to explain the rules of the game here, we always take questions. We always provide answers as best we can. Rumble rants, YouTube super chats, and all generic questions in the live hour, we strive to reply to and get back to. And we all, of course, really need and really appreciate your contributions, financial and otherwise, particularly financial. Also, we appreciate your support for Robbie, who is trying to make up for his recent loss in income the thing that shall not be named. Or shall be named, perhaps, whenever. Robbie would appreciate it, and I would appreciate it, and JT would appreciate it if you were to, after the show, or maybe overnight, even better, go over to Rumble and then search for Putinbot Gaming. Go to the playlists, find a long playlist, hit that sucker and let it play. Robbie gets paid for the watch hours. So doing that is much appreciated. Did any major news happen since the show this morning, or is it basically?
Now, I'm not quite sure. I've been on air the entire time. So I have a bit of a blind spot. I've seen some comments that Donald Trump made that are just fantastic.
I did see a crazy meme that the White House put out that basically has a picture. It just says basically green check mark versus red X, three different items. It says patriots and then not patriots. And one of them is a white guy wearing a MAGA hat. And then not patriot is a Latina woman wearing like what looks to be like a Mexican indigenous hat. And I'm like, a Latina woman can be a patriotic American. Latina women have fought and died for this country. Latina women have been heroes of the American Republic. Many, many of them. Really crazy. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's an official White House tweet.
I guess my thing is, if you want people of a country to be supportive of that country, there has to be buy-in. God, man, this is a Mark Frost thing. I'm sounding like Mark Frost. Mark Frost and I used to have these withering fights over like economics and stuff. He was far hard to the right. Mm-hmm. And during COVID, Mark Frost literally were like, the government should be throwing money out of helicopters. Right? Like, meaning this libertarian. And I think he started calling himself a former libertarian or something like that. You have to have buy-in. Like, and this is one of the points that he used to continuously make about capitalism. Capitalism only works if there's buy-in, if people believe. Meaning, you can rate the public blind, providing the public is also doing relatively well. The public will still fight for that country and that system that has allowed them to do well, even if other people are magnificently wealthy. I think that's true, right? And I think part of the reason that you even get into this patriotic versus non-patriotic stuff is because A, people have lost buy-in. B, they believe that the government is effectively lying to them, which in this case is true. And in many respects, they probably believe that the government outright hates them. Or at the very least is agnostic towards their existence, as the general public is basically just leeching off of them. Now, I hate this patriotic versus non-patriotic stuff. I hate this stuff.
Well, define patriotism. I mean, I'm a creature of the right, and I don't even know what the term means anymore. I mean, is it my country right or wrong, no matter what? Is it my country that can do no wrong? Or the way I look at it, I get this with my son all the time, is like, because I love my country, I want my country to do better. And right. That means that you have to acknowledge when your country fails at something. And personally, I'm of the mindset that, our government actively hates the people that it's supposed to govern.
Yeah,
I believe that our government is an enemy of the American people. And
yeah.
can you be a patriot and have that point of view? I honestly don't know anymore, because if my country hates me, then what loyalty do I owe it? None at all. It needs to be replaced. That's not a patriotic position.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, honestly, in some respects, it depends on what you mean by America, right? Like, if everybody's on the same page, then everybody's on the same page, meaning our reality is the same. Like, when the Soviet Union was in effect, and when the U.S. was in effect, the belief in a sword holder was a real thing, right?
Sure.
In 1 second, we can end the world. I believe that you would do that. In a second, mm-hmm. you'd end the world. And so I'm not going to mess with you. Now, people may say, okay, that's horrible. We were having, experiments where people were going under desks to avoid nuclear fallout. But that was same pages, right? There's something to be said when all of our minds are in entrancement and everybody is on the same page. Even if we disagree, at the very least, we understand the disagreement, and both of us understand the size of that disagreement, and we don't run afoul of each other. I mean, I think America works if it's that, when people are on the same page. The problem is, as Robbie pointed out, what does it mean to be a patriot in a country that has just attacked another country for no reasons, blowing off our own laws, obviously international law, et cetera?
Although, ironically, we're mostly on the same page over that particular issue, right? Because most Americans, Republican and Democrat alike, do not favor the attack on Iran.
Yeah, but I guess I'm pointing out, we're fracturing on everything else.
Yeah.
We're
living in different realities.
Yeah, but even in regards to what it means to be an American or what America means. Because
everything's
based on just fictions.
Like, literally, right? Today, this morning, I was talking to people online about my obsession about this daylight savings time bill, right? And someone said, not knowing my politics, well, you would have been all for it if Obama was for it. And and by the way, this has been kicking around. It passed in a very bipartisan way. It's not political. It's just happening to go through as Trump is president, right? But I mean, let's just say it was all Trump's idea. Look, if Trump had a good idea, as you guys know, I'd be the first to say, good for him. He does have
same here
sometimes. And yeah. If Obama had a, or Bernie Sanders had a dumb idea, I'd say fuck Bernie Sanders. This is a bad idea, right?
Yes.
But I mean, everything's politicized. So it's assumed that if you're, you have to line up on something as stupid as the tie. You have to it reflects what party you are.
I know, but that's so bizarre. I don't think most people go through their life in this kind of politicized way. It's just very weird. Like, there used to be things that we agreed upon. It's like, hey, everybody agreed the world is round. Yeah, yeah. And this random guy says, no, I don't believe that the world is round, right? But the majority of the people at the very least agree. That's not a political issue. But
I think maybe we still are. Maybe IRL, we're all reasonable people. We get together at cafes or bars or bowling alleys, and we can all talk to each other regardless of our politics, and we can intermarry and everything's cool. But on the internet, we're all playing this role. And maybe, is it possible that there's just every American has an avatar, and they're basically doing political warfare on the internet? And that's a separate reality. It's in the metaverse than the reality. Our politics, there's a virtual politics that's online only. That's not really the same thing as our actual politics.
I think we're going to find out that this iteration is wrong. if you, let's say a Plinko chip, as a Plinko chip, I was a software engineer, so that's the way I think about it, that you let it play out and you basically give it a kernel of logic and saying, okay, here's the logic of your particular society. What does this look like as it play out with people being people? Because again, people are just, you know, we are water in a jar. We move based on incentives and those type of things. Yes, there are going to be some people that buck it, but most people are going to go with incentives. And this is what it looks like. And I mean, don't get me wrong. It could just be because we cover political stuff and we follow political channels. Yeah. And so everything looks political to us from our sandbox. It could be that. And God, yeah. I hope it's that. Hope it's that.
I think that's it.
I think that's a big part of it. And I think honestly that the majority of the people are just checked out, and it's just like, you know, whatever's going to be is going to be. It's probably a very fatalistic outlook. Just, you know, we supposedly live in a country that promises self-governance, but nothing ever changes. So it doesn't matter. What's going to happen is it's going to happen. And people just kind of go about their lives. Then you have people like the three of us and people who are watching the chat who are actively, you know, interested about what's going on and active and interested in the process. Like, we want to see the sausage get made because it's important. Yeah. And then you see how the sausage is made and you get disgusted by it and you keep screaming at the normies, please wake up. We can't do this without you. And they just look at you in this bovine way with drool just dripping off their chin. Uh-huh. It's just like, dude, you are actively participating in your own destruction because of your apathy. Wake up. Like, what's it going to take?
I mean, I kind of want to dwell. I mean, do you guys think I'm wrong about, like, sort of there's a political us? I mean, there's an online us that differs in some meaningful ways than, you know, like an actual us. I mean, I was thinking about that. I was in this feud with this cartoonist. And I mean, he would say the most vituperative shit to me and about me on the internet. And then I ran into him at a convention. And obviously it was like, oh shit, like here's Ted actually in the flesh, and he's bigger than me. And he had this like look of fear, like I might punch him in the face, and he certainly would have had it coming. But the whole point was, what struck me in that moment was like, well, you're really brave at home in your underwear, but like here now, like one-on-one, it's a whole different deal. And like, you see like Mark Levin, right? Like, talking all sorts of shit, like, you know, fuck that person. I hope they die, kill them. But, you know, like, let's just say you woke up like in a Twilight episode and you're in Ramallah. Yeah, I don't think you have the same attitude, dude.
I think it's because he's a coward. I think a lot of people are cowards. Like, no, I would like to think that what you see here on the show is exactly what you see if we meet in real life. It's like, there is no... But there is no daylight here. It's just, this is me.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, and this is just me. I'm no different in person. Yeah. So to the detriment of my wife. But, yeah, to the detriment of family and wife. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I said before. I was in a bad mood last Sunday whenever my preacher, it wasn't the pastor, it was the deacon. Arch-Zionist. So, Robbie,
what does a deacon do?
So deacons, it depends on the church, right? So some churches they have deacons, and basically what a deacon is think of it as a board. So you have the pastor is the shepherd, he's the CEO, he has things he wants to do,
right?
But he'll have a board of advisors called deacons, and he runs these ideas by. So this is what I want to do. Do you think it's a good idea or not?
The deacon's like the hand of the king.
Sign off on budgets and stuff like that?
Yeah, like budgets and things that you're going to be spending money on. And, you know, just because it's easy to think that, you know, that if you're a good idea, but if you have a multitude of advisors, there's safety in that. Because then you're not...
So one church would likely have multiple deacons.
Yeah, depending on the size. Like, no, our church has got four deacons. A bigger church may have some. Some churches have deacons at all. It's just the pastor. Mm-hmm. And then the pastor is responsible for the finances and stuff. Mm-hmm. Person has to stay away from that because then the temptation of fuckery is too high. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that there really is safety with the multitude of advisors. And so this deacon came up, said, Robbie, what happened with Lindsey Graham? Don't you think this is horrible? I just unload them. No, dude's roasting a hill right now. Good riddance. Right there in the sanctuary of the church. And so that's what I'm saying. To your point, I'm sure that a lot of people who don't have real convictions, they have a public face and they have a private one, and they don't know how to to sort that out. And I like to think that I'm the kind of person that what you see is what you get. And if you ask me a question, that will give you an honest answer. And it's up to you to like it or not.
With that,
I agree with you, Ted, that there's usually a dichotomy. Like, and I think it boils down to just there's no presence.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously the internet has an effect on the real world, yeah. A massive one. But I'm just thinking it is kind of also an alternate space where we are different. Yes. People have an online persona that often doesn't bear a very close resemblance to their in-person persona. I mean, I guess you could argue which is real, right? I mean, maybe people are more liberated online and in their underwear at home, and they can.
Well, there's no consequence. Like if someone online comes up and if someone comes up on a chat and says, "Robbie, you're a race traitor, and you married," I'm not gonna drop the hard R. They're able to do that because they are less likely to get punched in the face because I can't punch them through a screen.
Right.
Whereas I have punched someone in the face on Main Street Kalispell who came up and said that. So, oh, what is this? The token, use your imagination. Mm. And I fed the bastard his teeth right there in front of Norm's News, to which he had it coming.
Jesus Christ.
I would agree.
And the cop came up and said, so what happened? I told him, so you hit the guy? I said, yes, sir, I'm guilty. I did it. And I fully expected to go to jail. And the cop was like, good on you.
You're like,
good on you.
There you go.
By the way, both are real.
Yeah.
Huh? Both are real. There's no way you can separate a person from a place, if that makes sense, meaning the dimension that the person is in. They're intangibly linked. It's almost like one has an idea of the other. And so it's just, if you think of it as a parameter, you're putting the person in a different space, a different environment that's intangible. Okay, how does this person act in this intangible environment? That's what they have. Yeah.
By the way, Robbie, I noticed we have the waiting for calls thing up. Are we still going to link up?
Yeah, if someone wants to. I mean, it's open.
Operators are standing by if you want to call the deprogram show and talk to us IRL. Short and pithy is the only way we're going to do this. Feel free.
It's a feature, not a bug.
I will just hang up on you. Sorry. You got to be short and pithy because, you know, many, many people watch the show. All right. Let's get to the questions, right? All right. So, Jenna Tills wants to know, how sloppy can a lasagna get before it's classified as a casserole? This is a very important question.
Oh, I don't want it to be, if it's sloppy, I'm not going to eat it. So,
I hate casseroles as a rule. So,
yeah.
And I like a lasagna. A good lasagna can be amazing. Yeah, that's a very subjective question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I like a firmer lasagna.
Same here.
Yeah.
Best lasagna I've ever had was in Lisbon, Portugal. Mm. It was random. It was at a mall. So you think like you just, this would be cool.
In Europe though, so of course. Good.
And that's why it was very firm.
Mm-hmm. One day I really want to go to Europe. That's one of the things that I really am envious of the two of y'all about. Is I wish I got to travel half as much as the two of you.
I'm envious of me for not going to Europe more often. I mean, every time I come back, I'm sad, to be honest. Not really because I'm coming back to the U.S. That's part of it. But I'm really sad because I'm not in Europe anymore. It's just so great.
Yeah, if I was single, I would 100% move to Kazakhstan. I've been looking at the country, researching it. I would get myself just a plot of land out in the middle of nowhere. It really is like Montana.
I looked into going. You could stay for 30 days on a visa, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, nowadays, Americans don't even need a visa. You just show up.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is you can go. They would give you one at the airport, as opposed to you having to get one in advance.
Yeah, you just show up.
30 days,
used to be a little complicated, but not anymore. All right.
No,
Furqan Hassan, 4118. Going back to John, I had a feeling that might happen. It's part of his CIA training. Stay long enough that he becomes part of your life. Be your best friend until the job is done. I mean, I have been thinking and saying that. I think John, as a CIA agent, either if he was predisposed to or was trained to view people as disposable.
Oh, I don't want to think that. I mean, I'll tell you, I worked around John. And I know, like, I get the training on some level. I mean, like, just in a periphery. And it did used to always cross my mind, like, what's true, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I real. Just kind of took him as is, because he was always nice. He was always kind. He was always affable. Yeah, I don't want to think that, but John, I want to hope that he can turn that on and off.
I mean, he's a father, so he must have some object permanence, right? I mean,
yeah. Well,
hopefully.
I can always say he's always been nice.
I've only met the guy once in person. We visited for about 7 hours when he came here to Montana. It was really nice. And me personally, I'm not mad at him. And I mean that. I'm not mad at him. I think that he's trapped. I think that he's looking for stability. And he's getting older, and he wants to have a stable life.
Stability.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. But the stability that we were able to offer him compared to what Hollywood was offering is
we are two different things. More stability.
Well, I agree.
He had other contracts that he had to break, I would imagine. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if they were going to hire him working at RT.
Yeah, no, he has to quit RT. So,
he could have been at RT for the rest of his life.
Yes, and the Russians loved it.
That sure would have been forever.
And the thing is, Russians are loyal people, and they value loyalty in return. One of the things, many things I love about Russians. They gave him money and a place to land, a soft landing at a time when no one else would have had him, right? I mean, so, and that doesn't mean that he owes working for them. I think just for him, he made a really, like, I think from a purely selfish financial point of view, he made a stupid decision, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like, as if I were his financial advisor, I would have told him not to do it. But anyway, because you always want to control your own destiny. I mean, you know, like so I'm a cartoonist. I'm an illustrator. I'm an editor. I'm a columnist. I'm a podcaster. Got a few other things going too, right? I do books. So the thing is, no single one person can pick up the phone and say, you know, I don't like the fact that Ted Rall criticizes Israel. Fire him. And like, my income doesn't go, one person can do that, but my income goes from 100 to 80 or 100 to 70. It doesn't go from 100 to zero. And I mean, that's a serious form of stability. John had that before he signed up with CIA. Now CIA can just, they can take him from 100 to zero. That's, to me, a bad choice. You know?
I don't know. I mean, this last thing I'm going to say about it. I think that what it is that John, before he went to prison, had a very good life. He had a lot of money. He was financially stable. I mean, he had it good. He went to prison, and the federal government destroyed his life.
Mm-hmm.
He lost everything. And I think that what it is that he, and always, Ted, he's the opposite of what you and me had. I mean, we both grew up dirt poor. Like, I was homeless for like 9 years. The idea of being without anything does not scare me, because I've been there before. It doesn't matter. There's a higher price to pay now because I have kids and a wife. But the idea of being poor does not hurt me, because I've been poor my entire life. It doesn't matter to me. John, I mean, he had the big house. He had the fancy cars. He had the career. All that stuff was taken away from him. And I think that he's just scared to death of being without again. I think that's what it is. And it's just, you know, whenever I say that, that he put himself into a cage, I'm not saying it as an attack.
No, I know.
It's
analysis.
I think that that's what it is. He is afraid of having nothing again. And I get it. I understand it.
And he's going to end up with nothing again because he made that call.
Yeah. Well, that's what I told him.
That's really more my point. I don't think he thinks strategically. Anyway, enough about John for that question. It's not even a paid question. Manchild 5000.
You didn't even pay us for that answer.
Yeah, if you're going to like get us to dish on, you know, my former friend and colleague. Manchild 5000, thanks for the dollar. Have you ever considered the songs Let the Bodies Hit the Floor and It's Raining Men are referencing the same meteorological event from different perspectives? I don't even know those songs. Do you guys?
Let the Bodies Hit the Floor is badass. It's like, let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. You don't know that song for real?
No. Is it like death metal? What is it?
Boomer. Boomer.
Total boomer.
No, it's good. It's like the 90s or 2000s or something like that? It's pretty. If you're talking about a song like Bringing the Hammer of God, it's that.
I got to see who this is. Drowning Pool. Okay, I never even heard of that. Pool. Okay. Yeah. Never heard of it. Don't know who it is. All right.
There's metal no way they're going to let
us. New metal and hard rock. All right.
Yeah. They're not going to let us play.
I don't know It's Raining Men either.
It's Raining Men is better. What? Oh, wait a minute. It's Raining. It's Raining Men. Hallelujah. It's
the
Raining
weather,
Men. Girl. You don't know that song, Gloria Gaynor?
Oh, it's Gloria. Really? 1982. I should know this.
You should know that one.
Yeah.
It's Raining Men. Hallelujah. It's Raining Men. The song is great. It's okay, we're very having, gay. I guess it's not gay. She's a woman.
We're having some
people very gay. The energy for it. Right. And I don't mean that as a negative. I just mean that's the feeling that comes out of that song. I could see him having that, like a gay bar or something like that. Just Rainy Man. Hallelujah.
I could see that. Even just from the graphic that I found when I was doing this. Yeah. All right. Neat Benny. Have you guys received polling questions on text that are asking about the relationship of the U.S. and Israel? In Ohio, me and my friends have gotten them. I get those polling questions all the time, but I haven't gotten Israel at all.
I've never gotten that one. No,
I've got an Israel one, but I think it's probably because I go to church a lot, and we know that they're doing a lot of geofencing around churches.
Ah,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
My great great grandfather started First Union Baptist Church. My family has gone to that church forever.
Huh. Richie Dupe. Never understood why people want to be a vassal of another man's ideology. I don't understand why people want to be a vassal, period.
It depends on what you get out of it. It's the whole mentality of the group, right? I'm a guy who hates people. Hey, this guy looks strong and we believe we can get things. If that guy's in charge, I will give fealty and allegiance to the guy who thinks, you know, it's the hierarchical structure, right? I mean, Tim, if you think I'm wrong on this, like basically you get somebody who you believe can get you things. People fall in behind them. Basically, is either military or something else. But the whole point of it is when we attack other people, we can get things from other people from the attack. And this is the guy that we think we can do it. So we're falling in line. They believe they can get something out of it.
I get that. But I mean, like once you live a while as an adult, you get burned over and over and over by that shit. And so at a certain point, aren't you just sort of like, okay, I see this pattern recognition. This is that old thing. Fuck that person.
Yeah, but let's take Europe. Europe is a great example. Colonialists, masters of the universe, they ride their boats in, kill natives, take stuff from the natives. Nobody could do anything about it. Europe gets to the point of being a declining, failing empire of sorts, with the United States overtaking them because they couldn't stop killing each other in wars. Against each other. Mm-hmm. The U.S. takes over. Europe can no longer project power across the globe. In fact, it's kind of just a declining location. And yet, they still use the United States as a tick on the ass of the U.S. in order to exert power through the U.S. I mean, they're vassals in every stretch of the imagination. Look at Rudy. Rudy is calling Trump daddy. One grown man who is supposedly leading a military organization calling another man daddy. Like, it's fucking outrageous. Is Europe wrong for doing that? Okay, well, what would Europe do if it didn't do that? And is it just pattern recognition of, let's say, the white 14% of the globe as a fist, with the United States now leading that fist. I don't think they're insane for it. Well, actually, I do think they're insane for it because they're damaging themselves in the process. But they've gotten used to it. Tell me if you think I'm wrong on this.
I think you're right. Robbie, what do you think?
To be honest, I'm really not sure. I don't know. I have to read about it some more.
Was it never mistaken the coherent for true?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, here's the problem is just because something is suicidal and destructive does not mean that a rational society will not do that suicidal and irrational thing.
True.
So it just,
but they don't think it's irrational.
Yeah.
They think it's, our lot is better with the United States. This is the white part of the globe, meaning we are the West. I believe our lot is better combined as opposed to separate. By the way, there's an element of racism built into that argument. I accept, I get that. But I think it's true.
I don't think
they look at themselves as fundamentally different and better than the other society. When, what's his name, came out and said that this Europe is a garden. Okay, but Europe is only a garden because it was getting cheap energy from Russia. Like, they're acting like they're a thing to themselves. They're not. I'm just trying to point out that the European leaders believe that their lot is better with the U.S. than it is, let's say, with China. Or for that matter, even with Russia. I guess they've been so many wars with Russia that they're always skeptical of it.
I don't think it's that. I honestly think that what it is that Europeans, you know, over the last 2,000 years of history, have always been at war with each other, and yes, that they are scared to death of if the United States was not there suppressing the national interests of the various of the larger countries, that there would be generational wars like what used to happen. So they're willing to cut themselves, give up their sovereignty to the point where they wreck their entire societies, so that way they don't go back to fighting each other again.
Ted, you're French. That's a weird way to start this off. What's your impression of that? Like, do you really think that France would go back to war with Spain or go back to war with the UK if the United States wasn't
ridiculous? The thing is, it's in their blood, it's in their history, and to them, you know, unlike us, they, you know, for them, something that happened 300 years ago is like it might as well have happened Thursday. Yes, so, I think it's in their subconscious, and I think there's something to it. Although, look at what happened, the Bosnia War. I mean, Europe can go to war with itself.
Yes.
And so, in the modern era. When I was in, you mentioned Lisbon, I was in Lisbon a few years ago when there was an uprising in Catalonia, and there was some thought that the central government was going to have to send in federal troops to prevent a secessionist revolution in Spain. The Spanish authorities, right? And I was thinking, oh, this is great. I'll be able to drive to a war. It'll be great. It's like, you know, it didn't happen, fortunately. But it's part of them. So, I mean, I have to admit, I think it's a very weird, cucky mentality. I think about De Gaulle when he threw out NATO from Paris. And I don't know if there's any, I mean, I think compare that to a Macron, or any other of the subsequent French leaders, but they're like, oh my God, like America, we need you. And I'm like, are you kidding? You need us? We're fucked up beyond belief. Look at our president, for God's sake. Like, nobody should be looking to us. We shouldn't be driving the car. Someone should take the keys away from us. You want us to be in charge of your shit too? We can't even run our own shit. What are you doing?
But here's the thing, though.
We use them as a power projection device.
Yeah.
It's not. I understand the logic of it. I do get the logic of the argument of they think that they're incapable of dealing with their own affairs because they've been at war for so long and nearly destroyed the world in the last war. Mm-hmm. I get the argument. I guess I'm saying, is it to our advantage or disadvantage to be in Europe?
It's to the disadvantage of the American taxpayer. It's to the advantage of the ruling class. So both of those things are correct. True. And it's the same way with the Europeans. So, for example, Europe famously has a generous welfare state.
Yes.
The reason why they have a generous welfare state is because they are able to have much smaller militaries than they would otherwise need to have. Otherwise, the Germans would come visit the French again, or the Germans would go visit the Polish again, or the Italians would decide, you know, hey, maybe we want to take Corsica back. Sardinia is not enough.
Maybe. So I don't think history is prologue.
I think it's just baked in. Because if you look at a map of the United States, and I don't think Americans are able to realize this. I think that human mind is too small. If you got a map of just the continental United States and you superimpose it over Europe, the entire United States takes up almost the entirety of Europe.
Right.
And then you have all these small countries with different languages, different cultures, different traditions, all crammed in there together, and you have limited resources because Europe doesn't really have any resources. So they're going to be competing with each other fiercely for what they have.
I know, but
you cannot have a welfare state and a large standing military at the same time. So then what has to give?
Well, that makes sense at the point where you're talking about, let's say, like the 1800s. But at the point where you have a globalized system of trade and everything else, I don't think past is prologue, is what I'm saying. I could be wrong, and I hope I am wrong. I don't think past is prologue. And I mean, part of the reason that they started the European Union was to avoid future wars. Basically, we're going to have a united system. We're going to have trade, commerce, et cetera, et cetera. It has been a success, with the exception of basically this kind of military arm of NATO being superimposed over. I don't buy the premise that if the U.S. wasn't there, they would devolve immediately into wars.
But what does Europe have to trade? I mean, the only manufacturing base really up till like 10 minutes ago was Germany.
True.
And is not trade. Real estate is only trade to the point where till you give away Greece is and Greek citizens can longer get houses. What does Europe produce to trade with a manufacturing nation like China or India? The answer is nothing. All they have is banking. That's not how you generate the wealth of a nation. You've got to actually make something tangible. That means you have resources. That means you have a workforce. That means that you have to have open trade. It means you got to have control of the seas, or at least open seas. That's what the United States gives Europe in exchange for being on its knees. But America can't do that forever.
Now, I mean, obviously, Europe is a country bigger than the United States. What do they trade now?
Nothing. All they have is banking.
They don't trade anything right now.
Think about it. France. What is France's major export?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at, Robbie, is that these countries do have economies, and these countries do function as countries. And I would imagine there is intercommerce between these countries. Meaning Europe may not be self-sufficient from the standpoint of energy. True.
Yeah, but that's what matters.
Well, that's not true.
Because without energy, you can't make anything.
They were getting energy from Russia. Even now, Putin is like, I will give you energy. He keeps saying, one of the pipelines are turned on. We can turn it back.
Europe has a vibrant economy and has a big economy. Let's put it that way. And they don't have any energy resources at all.
Yeah, I know. But that's the point that I'm trying to make, though, is that the United States gives that stability. If Uncle Sam pulled out tomorrow, that umbrella falls apart. And then you have go back to that great power competition.
What stability?
That stability. We are attacking a country that has resulted in the Strait of Hormuz being closed. The last I heard somebody talking in Europe saying that gas had hit $9 a gallon in certain parts of Europe. Sure. That is astonishing.
What stability? Robbie,
that's not stability. That's something else.
If the U.S. disappeared, but what exactly would go wrong for Europe?
Well, I mean, you'd have to ask, for example, what would happen if the United States disappeared tomorrow? What would happen with, say, the Baltic states in regards to Finland? Because they have territorial disputes. They have things. There's oil fields, or not oil fields, but gas fields in the Baltic Sea. You have the largest oil reserves just there north of Scotland.
The U.S. isn't moderating those disputes.
But the United States, though, keeps the Europeans from being in direct competition with each other. That's the point I guess I'm trying to make. So think maybe I'm just articulating this very well. So think of the United States as a security blanket. If you pull away that security blanket,
or is it more like
these nations are going to start competing with each other again?
Is it more?
Then you start getting more European wars.
But is it more like a counterbalance, and the Europeans feel like they have to stick together in order as a trading bloc in order to compete with the U.S.?
Yes, the answer is yes to both of those. But without the security guarantee, nothing else matters.
But what security does the U.S. provide? Militarily,
NATO.
Europe is literally at war right now with the U.S.
Who's in Germany? I agree, but France is not at war with Spain right now over trade routes coming through the Pyrenees, or more to the point, because there's a lot of concern going on right now about immigration, you know, specifically coming in from Africa.
It's through not the U.S. The U.S. say now, hey, all right, French and Spaniards, you crazy kids, sit down and work this out. That's not our role.
Yeah, no, I get that, but listen, what I'm saying, crazy. If the United States is no longer protecting them, then the nations of Europe.
Premise, Robbie, that these guys are effectively children that in no way can, like, meaning they have a trading bloc. That trading bloc engages with the rest of the world. If you're saying that they're going to compete with each other, fair enough, countries compete. Doesn't mean they immediately go to war over this stuff. Like, I don't buy the premise that they're just going to devolve into wars.
But
if the U.S. magically disappears.
But nations do all the time. Like before World War II started, France was Germany's largest trading partner. That doesn't stop things from happening. The point that I'm trying to make is that if the nations of Europe were responsible for their own defense, as opposed to outsourcing their defense to the American taxpayer to pay for those militaries, they would not be able to have the welfare states that they currently have. That means they would have to do something about all the immigration that's coming in and the migrations. Plus, they're going to start having competitions with themselves for geographic choke points. Like, you know, the further Eastern Europe that you go, the wider the European plane gets. I guarantee you the reason why the Russians are not currently knocking on the door of Poland is because they don't want to trigger a response from the West, specifically the United States. They're not afraid of Germany or France. They're afraid of the United States. That's why they keep getting the shit kicked out of them by the Yukies every other day, because Putin is scared shitless of Uncle Sam jumping in even harder than what he already is. Take Uncle Sam out of the equation, then the Russians are going to start taking care of things. Do you think that Luxembourg would still be independent?
I don't
know. Of course not.
Robbie, I don't think Russia is afraid of the U.S. I think they're afraid of ending the world.
They're afraid of getting nuked. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no. They're afraid of being, it will be the end of the world. It's that. Like, meaning, if rational human being, if I am Putin and I'm trying to contain the war to Ukraine, and I'm just trying to be, meaning, I don't want to end the world, and sure, I don't want to be put in the position to end the world, which is what that would ultimately take place if the US gets involved into the war. For one, the US will be beaten militarily, meaning in a conventional warfare sense. Europe will lose that conflict in the conventional sense. The issue is nuclear weapons. Yeah, well, like, I agree with you about the nukes thing. I guess I'm trying to point out, it's not Putin is terrified of the U.S. It's Putin is terrified of being put in the position of having to end the world.
That's the same thing.
All right, let's make this conversation a frozen conflict, because we have a lot of questions to get into here. All right, Manchild, thanks for the dollar. There's too much othering and extreme tribalism everywhere. The internet amplifies the worst of humanity, and people live their lives in an echo chamber. The mob is sad, lonely, angry, and defeated. Yes.
Sad, lonely, angry, and defeated.
Sandcar 13 started watching Robbie's gaming channel on Rumble. Robbie, I do need to sit through ads when watching older videos, or can I skip them?
If you let the ads run, you get paid more, but the watch hours pay the most. So if you want to skip them, by all means, go and click that skip button.
Okay. Spooky Fog, what do you guys think about the Charlie Kirk case? If you haven't looked into it, then hold back commentary. What the media is saying is blatantly misleading.
I haven't looked into it yet. Have either of you two?
Yeah. I think the government is straight up lying. That man, okay, to quote Ted, what they're saying is not true. Not only is it not true, it cannot possibly be true.
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk, that was not a .30-06 bullet that did in Charlie Kirk.
They're saying it's a 30-06 bullet that hit him. They're still saying it in court.
They're still saying that. And they're saying that he had the Man of Steel, fractured the bullet, and that he was so he was so physically just imposing that this heavy bullet fired from 100 yards away could not go through his neck. First of all, that was not an entrance wound. That was an exit wound. And that was not from a 30-06 because his neck would be gone. It is a lie.
I don't know enough about guns to comment on that stuff. All I can say is that the general tone of the government's case so far does not give confidence that they are sure about what happened and why. It seems like this is a case that's held together by duct tape and bailing wire even more than the OJ case was. Frasmatas, a question and comment for Jamarl. Would love to talk astrology sometime or see you do astrology focused content, even if just one.
Oh, dude, I would love to. I cannot do that and do politics. One day I was in this mood of like, I want to do a video on Moon Opposition Pluto and relationships of people with that aspect and blah, blah, blah. And I was trying to get her to join me because it just so happened that both of us have the same aspect in our individual charts and our composite. And she was like, you're trying to destroy your career. She was like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? I can't. I would love to. I can't. It would have to be on a completely separate channel with me in makeup or something so nobody knows who I am.
I'll invite you on the Putin by Gaming. You can do it here. Put you on Putin by Speaks.
Here's the thing.
You can wear white face.
I learned this stuff when I was younger as a child, right? Well, not a child, probably in my teens. And then as I got older, I got more gristled and that type of stuff. I was very new agey when I was younger. I think it's a curiosity for me. I'm not wed to it like some people are with it. It's like the chart is the reality of things. I think the reality of things is reality of things. The chart is interesting insofar as it lines up with reality. But it just so happens a lot of times lines up with reality. It just does. It's like it's not like subjective in that sense. Meaning you could have somebody write this stuff out in advance and then patch it over and the stuff would line up, especially from the standpoint of events in people's lives and that type of stuff. But yeah, it's hard to do a channel like that. It would be fun to do it with somebody else. Like if you had a female partner and you guys are talking about it back and forth and both of you might have been in a relationship and there's this kind of spicy thing where you start fighting each other and it's like, oh my God, now you're crying. It's just like,
does astrology factor into the destiny of nations or just individuals?
No, nations also. America has a chart. America has a chart. Nazi Germany had a chart. But I haven't looked at that chart, so don't get me lying. But there are larger events that take place. Like, in astrological terms, there could be larger, difficult events, difficult aspects, like violent aspects. For example, before anything happened to me, meaning from the standpoint of vision and stuff like that, I had looked, you can look through into future events, like what's going to happen in, you know, what does it look like in a month? What does it look like in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, that type of stuff. And I remember telling my mom, it was like, hey, something is going to happen around this particular date. I don't necessarily know what it is, but these are violent aspects. And it's because there are some things that show up that are violent, like Mars opposition Pluto is violent. Pluto opposition Saturn is violent. And when you're seeing these kind of larger forces like that, this usually means something is happening, even if you can't necessarily denote what's happening. At least I'm not good enough to do so. It's fascinating, but it's more of a curiosity. It's more of a, hey, does this line up? When you meet somebody, does these people line up with the chart? It's almost like an analysis of it. And even as you go through your own life, you start get context of what things mean in a human way, not just in this cookbook astrology way. No, it's interesting, but it's just curiosity. It's not, I'm not wed to it, but I know enough about it to be dangerous.
Gotcha. I know nothing about it. So I would like to sit at your feet and listen to what is Jada say, and then kind of just see how that relates to natural law that Christianity teaches. I'm sure it's related.
Well, I mean, astrology doesn't really have, is that true? I was going to say there's not a morality to it. It's just kind of a...
It's a system.
Yeah, it's a system of understanding the way people interact and the way events interact using icons that have representations of elements of a person. Like the sun is the life force of a person. The moon is the emotional base of a person. Venus is what the person wants. Mars, how the person gets what he wants. Like basically sex and aggression. Like you have personal planets. And then you have these kind of larger forces that are external to the human being, but exerts supposedly influence. I mean, from my point of view, all this stuff is physical. If something is in a chart, it's there for a reason. Like if a person, Pluto in the eighth, the person, I may think, okay, that was a person sexually abused, or was there some kind of abuse in the person's life for that to be there? There are other people who look at it as more like robotish, like, you know, the planets are beaming energies and the people are robots and stuff like that. I don't buy that. But either way, like I said, it's awkward that I even know it. And doing a channel would be fun if I had somebody to do the channel with, but it would never be on my own channel. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole on my own channel.
Yeah. I love you. I know nothing about it, but let's do it.
All right. So, okay. We already answered this about FUSO. Thoughts on Charlie Kirk. We already talked about that. Frasmataz and Ted should consider you doing a series on political cartoonists and their crazy person or political criminal lives. You know, Wyatt Mann and the guy who killed George Rockwell, the Greek. Yeah, Scott and I often talk about doing a book that's about like the history, the wild history of political and other cartooning. But we're not, honestly, it's not, I don't think there'd be, I don't think anyone would buy it. And writing books is hard. I don't think there's any interest. I don't think people would, I mean, I think it's one of those books like, if you could get great promotion from a big publisher and they were to get it out there and get it reviewed in the New York Times Book Review, you could get people to take an interest in it and they'd be into it. But if you just do it and hope for the best, ain't nothing going to happen and it's a waste of your fucking time. Yeah. Let's see.
Very niche.
Nietzsche. Yeah, exactly. I can sign up for Rumble and turn my screen off on my TV so I can sleep while Robbie earns money. I have to sign up. Robbie is a big reason I watch. Frasmataz, I just think Ted probably already knows the history of some of these right-wing political cartoonists since World War II in the U.S., and I'm interested. True, I do. Scott knows even more than I do. Nietzsche, Robbie's making sense. He's saying the U.S. has and was a stabilization factor. Without it, will lead to more nationalism and tribal wars. However, Russia is another counter for now.
Well, I mean, I guess my feeling is nature looks for balance on some level. Europe, okay, let's take it for the moment that you're right, that Europe is stabilized with America in it. It is literally fighting a war with Russia now. And it's U.S. policy to effectively use Europe like Ukraine to go after the Russians, with the U.S. being the funder for that stuff. Basically, we're going to get our industries and everything else back up by having a war in Europe, which is why we keep pushing them to get their military budgets and everything up front so they can effectively confront the Russians. Of course, 70% of the stuff they're going to buy is from us.
They're in a proxy war with Russia, but not war with each other. If the United States pull the plug tomorrow,
I know. But
do you think that there would be nationalists in Berlin that would want to take Prussia back from Poland? I say yes.
If they're dying against the Russians or dying between each other, what does it matter?
But the Europeans aren't dying against the Russians. This is Yuki's story.
You can make the argument to me that they fall into war, which I don't accept. But let's take it as it is. How many ever are going to die within the context of that war? Just as many are going to die, if not more, fighting the Russians. And the United States is the one that is pushing that behavior.
Yeah, but the argument that I'm making is that they're not going to jump on the Russians. The argument that I'm making is that the several independent states in Europe will start fighting each other. Like, for example, after World War One, when Prussia was taken and Poland was reconstituted, because before World War One, Poland didn't exist. It was divided between the Germans and the Russians.
Miracle.
And then after World War II, the Germans are genocided by the Poles and the Russians. Germans remember that stuff. They remember that land was ancestrally theirs. They also understand that they have a claim to that land, that the resources that they need, and that and Poland has it, but that doesn't mean they get to keep it. I mean, Konigsberg, what's now called Kaliningrad, was a part of it was a part of Germany for 800 years. They remember this stuff, and they're going to want to take that land back for those resources that are there.
You think they want to settle scores?
Oh, 100%. Europeans. One day, when Europeans remember who and what they are, and that those castles were built not as tourist attractions, but because they're always were at war with each other. When they figure that stuff out, this whole idea of the soft white, hair bun European cis male is going to go out the window, and they're going to remember why Europe conquered the whole freaking world.
I'm skeptical of that. Yeah, I think modernity has consequences, but I could be wrong.
But modernity makes sure you're able to kill each other more effectively.
Well, that too.
That too. Juan Don, the South will rise again. I will not. We have something that we'll be able to sell you that sort of relates to that soon enough. Frasmataz, also Jungian and astrology overlap is very cool.
Oh, interesting.
Exile the Knights of Malta now? I bet Robbie was a pisser in home ec class. Robbie, do you have some true story about home economics class?
I never went to high school, so I didn't do home ec.
I'm old enough that home ec was only for girls.
We did have a home ec, and men were allowed in home ec. Well, boys were allowed in home ec.
Like, there were like two gay guys who were in home ec.
Really? That's funny.
Literally gay guys. And then they had to get like a papal dispensation, and the rest of us were shunted off to industrial ed. Learning how to cook, I'm glad I did industrial ed, but I could have really stood to have learned home ec too. I'm weak on cooking. Anything.
I mean, I got to be honest, our education system is... Let me ask you this. Did you learn more about history in school or out of school?
Oh, 1,000,000% out of school. On my own, reading on my own, of course.
I mean, so, I don't know, basic. And it's like, it feels insufficient in regards to what a life is about. Like meaning, like governing class, for example, like learning about politics, learning about the country, learning about, I get the sense that that stuff is probably a little bit more valid. Learning that politicians lie. Learning not to trust, like meaning, I know that stuff sounds horrible and sounds really, but I think it's valuable lessons.
Yeah,
that you just kind of hit your head on as you grow.
Couldn't agree more, 100%. Yeah. Robert, do you have any more questions? We're almost at the end of an even hour here.
No, not right now. Just a lot of people just really intrigued about astrology. I want to know, JT, why you can't do astrology on your channel. What would be the conflict of interest? What's the problem?
It's conflict of interest. It's like, it would be like me having religious stuff on my channel. I've, in the old days, in the first iteration of my channel, I used to have things like remote viewing, out-of-body experiences. I used to talk about all sorts of random stuff on the channel, especially as I was doing it. In fact, I think I even put my remote viewing stuff up. I could be wrong. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. I think I might have put it on Facebook or somewhere. But it's a political channel. It's geopolitics. And neither the two of these things show me, because one is the reality of things. The other one is something else. I don't know.
We just have to do just more Civ 6. That solves the problem.
What? Said it one more time?
We just have to do more Civilization 6. That solves the problem.
That solves it all. That solves it all. No, well, I promise you, we will continue that game.
Oh,
today,
no, for sure.
It's not going to happen because I have another interview at 1 tomorrow, and I still have to cut the videos from today. Tomorrow.
Do you want me to cut those videos for you? I can.
No, I don't mind doing it. Wait a minute. Tomorrow, I have interviews. Tomorrow's Friday. I have interviews on Friday, but we may be able to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, just let me know.
Okay. Wait a minute, today is Wednesday, tomorrow's Thursday.
Yeah.
We may be able to do it Friday.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, so I guess that wraps up today's show. One little bit of breaking news: Canadian wildfires are spreading very low, a lot of smog and poor air quality throughout the northeastern United States. I'm looking out my window now; it smells horrible. The air is atrocious. Boston's AQI is already well over 200. People are with respiratory problems, or like myself, are being ordered. Or requested to stay indoors. So if you're in the Northeast and you're wondering why it's so fucking hazy and it smells so gross, that's why. Canadian wildfires just like happened like 3 years ago. We will bring you, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Thanks everyone for joining us. We do this Q&A Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon. Don't forget to go to Rumble, Putinbot Gaming, hit a playlist, help out. Help out Robbie. And as for the rest of us, we will be back tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time. See you then. We have one more comment. And thanks very much for the very generous $20 donation from Melissa Petrovic. It's my birthday. Happy birthday, Melissa. And I can't believe I'm listening to you on this scorching hot Chicago day. Ted, I can't believe France lost to Spain on a Bastille day. I know, it's shameful. Any predictions for the finals? Your number one Serbian fan. No predictions here. So it's too many surprises, and I don't know enough about it to predict. Thanks, everyone. And we will see y'all tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Robbie, a pleasure. Thank you so much for producing and all you do. And we will say bye-bye at this point.
See y'all tomorrow.